Welcome to today's Innovative Ideas podcast. Our guest this afternoon is Douglas Holtz Eakin, former director of the Congressional Budget Office, a member of the Congressionally Chartered Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, and president of the American Action Forum. Doug, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Paul.
Doug, I wanted to talk today about corporate tax reform. It's an issue that's been in the news lately, one that I know is very near and dear to your heart and that you've written on. And I wanted to start by quoting Vice President Biden from the Democratic Convention in Charlotte about a week or so ago, where he discussed the issue of corporate tax reform, and in particular, Governor Romney's plans for shifting to a territorial tax system for the U.S., along with corporate tax reform in general. And we'll explain that in a minute, but let me just start with Vice President Biden's quote. He said, quote, "Governor Romney's budget proposal calls for a new tax. It's called a territorial tax, which the experts have looked at, and they acknowledged it will create 800,000 new jobs, all of them overseas, all of them," end quote. So just for a minute or two, could you explain what the U.S. corporate tax system looks like today and how this question of territoriality works out to the disadvantage of U.S. companies that are operating, in this international environment?
Happily. The U.S. has a worldwide tax system, which in principle means that the moment a U.S. corporation earns a dollar anywhere on the globe, it is subject to the U.S. tax rate of 35%, which is the highest corporate tax rate in the developed world. So they're operating in that kind of an environment. Now, that worldwide system has been just tweaked a little bit by saying that the taxes aren't really due until you bring the money back to the United States, so-called deferral of taxes until the money is repatriated. That's also a mixed blessing because it's effectively a second layer of tax when you bring the money back into the U.S. and a tax on bringing funds back for purposes of investment or hiring people and things like that. So the other approach would be a territorial system in which companies would be taxed only on their earnings in the, quote, territory, in that case, in the United States itself, and earnings outside the United States would be subject only to the taxes in the host country. So, for example, at the present, when a German company and a U.S. company compete for business in Brazil, the German company pays the Brazilian tax and they're done. The U.S. company pays the Brazilian tax, and when they bring the money back to the U.S., they pay a second layer of tax to get the total tax up to 35%. That puts our firms at a competitive disadvantage in Brazil, or if they choose not to bring the money back, they can level that playing field, but the U.S. economy loses the benefits of what is now trillions of dollars parked overseas. So we have these two approaches to corporation taxation. I think the most important fact is the U.S. remains the sole large developed country using worldwide system. Everybody else has shifted to a territorial system for a whole variety of reasons we can go through. And it raises the question, what does the vice president know that all these other countries don't know that's causing us to cling to a system that went away at the end of the 20th century?
Absolutely. To put it in another way, the system we have today encourages companies to invest more outside of the U.S. with funds generated in a global market. Because if you're thinking, well, do I want to build another plant in China or the U.S. with money that we've generated, profits we've generated internationally, you look and say, well, I would pay a much lower tax rate in China, and then if I brought it back to the U.S., I'm going to face that, again, this is the marginal tax rate, not the effective tax rate, but a marginal tax rate of 39%. So that's a disadvantage today for U.S. companies not to bring that money back to the U.S. and invest in jobs.
Yeah, it's a huge disadvantage. The problems are both the way we tax, the worldwide system, the level at which we tax, a very high tax rate, and real corporate reform would address both those. The White House has gone exactly the other direction, it's worth pointing out. They have each year in their budget included proposals to get rid of deferrals so that the worldwide tax would be owed instantly, and there would be no way to level the tax playing field internationally. I think it's significant to note that even though Democrats controlled the Congress in 2009, 2010, those proposals went nowhere. They would, in fact, be a step in the wrong direction from the perspective of what every other competitive country has done.
And let me just reference a 2011 study from the New America Foundation where they looked at the effect of a tax holiday. And this is not a true corporate tax reform, but essentially what we did back in 2004, I believe it was, when Congress instituted a temporary one-year tax holiday that allowed companies to repatriate earnings they generated internationally back to the U.S. at a lower tax rate. This just looked at, an extension, another tax holiday, and they estimated that having another temporary tax holiday would generate $178 billion to $336 billion of an increase in GDP, an increase of 1.3 million to 2.5 million jobs, and an increase of $36 billion in corporate tax revenue as a result of the increase in repatriation. So companies bringing back more money here creates a number of positive macroeconomic effects from the repatriation of those funds. Now, what's the argument against doing this that has been made that would say that this is not a clearly good idea? If this is such an incredible idea, smart idea, why haven't we done this already?
Well, the argument by those who favor a worldwide system is that if you have two firms in Ohio, both of which make the same amount of money, one of which does entirely by investment and employment and sales in the United States, and the other, which might have some in the United States, but also sells in Brazil or Russia or India, China, any of the international markets that are growing so rapidly, the second one, the one that invests internationally, can defer tax and thus pays a lower tax rate in a particular year. That's the argument. It's unfair, and it's, quote, rewarding people to ship jobs overseas. The trouble is that the argument of leveling that playing field the way the administration wants to means that they will, in fact, be treated equally. They will both go out of business in the global economy, and that's fair, but I don't think it's where we want to go with our economy. We need to make sure that we can take advantage of the places that are growing most rapidly. 95% of the consumers are outside the United States. That is where we're going to see markets grow rapidly. We should be able to get into those markets, compete on a level playing field, and bring the money back. That's a beneficial strategy for the U.S., and that's why a territorial system is increasingly looking like the way to go. It's worth noting that this is not a purely political issue. The Bowles-Simpson Commission, bipartisan in nature, recommended a territorial system. A private sector commission led by Alice Rivlin and Pete Domenici came up with the same solution. Anyone who looks at the growth and competitiveness aspects of the corporate tax ends up with a lower rate and a territorial base.
Well, that's a terrific point to end on here. So we've got a system that, in effect, today penalizes American companies in international competition, produces a disincentive for them to return profits generated abroad to invest in new jobs, new manufacturing in the U.S., and in effect also, penalizes small companies that might grow into larger companies with a potential global base in the U.S. from expanding operations because they're facing that penalty if they move into that international market.
Yeah, there's one last aspect that I think is worth mentioning. I'll do it briefly. If you're merging two big companies, one's in the U.S., one's not, where do you want to put the headquarters? Well, the U.S. is the place that has the high taxes and the 20th century tax system that's out of date. The other places don't. So what we're seeing is the loss of major headquarters in all of the big mergers. When Deutsche Bank and New York Stock Exchange merge, the headquarters end up in Amsterdam. That's pure taxes. When InBev and Anheuser-Busch merge, InBev gets the headquarters, and St. Louis loses not just Anheuser-Busch money, but all of the contributions to the social capital in the area, the boys' clubs, girl clubs, symphonies, and the like. So we're going to see our best companies, our most innovative companies, our large global pharmaceutical companies, medical device companies, increasingly tempted to end up outside the United States for purely tax purposes.
And that's a terrific point, because even in these mergers, you're right, they're moving a lot of services that they would otherwise station in the U.S. or a lot of the social capital they would otherwise headquarter here, they're moving it abroad. When a firm gets bigger internationally or expands its presence internationally, that results in more jobs in the U.S. because it needs many of those back office and management functions to help manage its expanded global operations.
That's exactly on point, and it's a concern for me that we are really hollowing out some important aspects of not just the corporate tax revenue, but the foundations of these communities in ways that could be easily avoided.
Terrific. Well, let's hope that corporate tax reform receives a thorough revision in the near future from Congress and hopefully the next administration. Doug, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Paul.